Hey, before we begin the episode, I just wanted to announce that 5GMs will be donating 100% of our merch profits to a local charity that supports immigrants starting today. Each month, we'll announce on our socials which charity we'll be donating to. If you've been eyeing a new hat for the summer or a new hoodie to keep you warm, now your purchase will go to a good cause. You can visit the number 5GMsinatrenchcoat.bigcartel.com today to make your purchase. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I am the host of Dice Exploder, the Emmy-nominated podcast all about RPG design right here on the Many-Sided Network. And after years of interviews and ideation with some of the best designers in RPGs, my first print game is coming to Kickstarter. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes, a John Wick-inspired game about getting your bloody revenge. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a game about standing in the shadow of a skyscraper in the pouring rain, bathed in bubblegum neon and someone else's blood, staring down at the man who ruined your life all those years ago, raising the barrel of a gun and asking, "Will you pull the trigger?" Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a one-shot capsule game box set deck builder RPG, and you can follow it right now on Kickstarter. Back Band-Aids and Bullet Holes on May 5th.
This season of 5GMs in a Trench Coat deals with themes of loneliness, loss, the paranormal, growing older, confrontation, parental pressures, reconciliation, teenage shenanigans, allusions to being people of color in the 80s, and hope. Listener discretion is advised.
Shibuya! Yeah, Shibuya, roll call!
With 5GMs, we're telling stories using tabletop games, so check us out.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to 5GMs in a Trench Coat, Season 5 from Inside the Tent. Today, we have four fantastic guests. We're going to be telling a little story outside of Oklahoma. It's a sticky, hot summer day. And I think the soles of your shoes are heating up so much, CJ, that you feel it's almost like your bare foot is on asphalt, even though it's not. You've been waiting a little longer than I think you intended to. What's going on in your mind? Can you describe yourself and can you tell me what emotion you wear on your face in this moment?
Yeah. CJ is standing there. He's a little bit frustrated, but he's fidgeting with this very oversized camcorder camera that he rented out from the school. He's a bit of a rotund dude, a darker skin. He just wears simple clothes, jeans, black shoes, but it's always a wrestling tee and a backwards hat. It's just kind of his neutral. He's waiting for the rest of the group because timetables are a major thing and he wanted to catch the light. And he doesn't really want to be doing this with anyone per se, but for his final, he's going to need the extra hands. So he's just standing next to his car, kind of just, again, fidgeting with his equipment and muttering to himself, just, okay, all right, that's that, it's battery, okay, cool, that's, oh, wait, I may have a microfiber towel in the trunk, okay, and then shuffles over to the trunk of his car.
Yeah, as you are hunched over, kind of digging through the trunk, the mixture of sweat and humidity itself kind of stings your eyes. It just runs down your face, making the pits of your arms and knees kind of this uncomfortable amalgamation of just your own existence in this space. Behind you, I think running a little bit late, I don't know how disheveled or what the energy is, but Locke, can you give us can you paint us a picture? You're coming in again. It's this warm day, man. And you are later than you're supposed to be.
Yeah, but you know what? Locke, of course, he does not look disheveled. Locke always looks good leaving his dorm. He has Steve Harrington-style hair that parts of the bangs are sticking to his forehead because of how hot it is right now. He's got a nice pair of black shades. He's got a red kerchief around his neck, wearing, even despite the heat, but you can't, you know, you can't forsake the look like that. You got to commit to the bit. So he is wearing a long-sleeved denim jacket covered in various band patches, a slim white tee underneath that jacket tucked into a pair of blue jeans with a thick black belt, is wearing black Chuck Taylors, which probably is not ideal for crossing hot pavement this time of year. But he looks rare and ready to go. He heard this might involve trespassing on property of some kind, and that sounds like a good time to him. So he is striding across this parking lot, not even worried about the fact that he's late, does not care. Yo, CJ, what's up?
What's going on? Hey, you're late.
It's like a few minutes. Not a big
Come
deal.
On. A few right? minutes is the difference between us having enough light and not enough. So
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I forgot.
Probably.
I'll get a watch next
No,
time.
You won't.
I won't.
Do me a favor. Can you grab that bag and put it in the trunk?
Yeah,
just be careful.
I just
got it waxed.
I'll be careful.
There's a loud clunk as Locke moves the bag into the trunk, not nearly as careful as you would have liked.
Okay.
And
it's
what
fine.
I have to assume, trailing not too far behind Locke, would be Toad, yes?
Yeah. Well, hold up, wait up. Hold on. I'm coming. Just hold on, these pants. I forgot the belt. Oh, no, I felt the loop is not in.
And then just running across, pulling his pants up a little higher because he did miss a couple of loops. And he's like slowly taking it apart, running, putting it through the loop, missing it a few times. And you're like, I'm sure I know I have a loop there. And then like still running with his backpack and stuff behind Locke.
Yeah, the three of you kind of gather together. As was mentioned, there may or may not be some trespassing into the old abandoned and an apparently haunted house down the way off Oklahoma Highway 3, the Oleander House. You wanted to shoot a short film or something here for a final project. What exactly drew you to this place, CJ?
So a lot of the landscape is very wide and open in most cases, unless you pan to a certain part of the area, which is very dense forest. I also heard that there was a driveway that kind of pulls you into the area, and that might be really good for some B-roll. It's just particularly scenic, which is very unusual for where we live. So, and then honestly, you know what? Shock and horror gets the people going, so it's enough to get at least a C, and honestly, that's fine.
Yeah, you know for sure at the least there's intrigue that comes along with a place like this. How do all three of you feel about things like haunted houses and the like?
So it's funny that you ask. CJ is canonically banned from a haunted house in southern Orlando called the Skull Kingdom. Because of the fact that he is so skittish, his dad thought it would be funny to take him there as they were going to Universal Studios. And there was a particular section that he guesses was filled with punching bags, but there was a black strobe light that was happening. And he could have sworn somebody ran up to him and whispered in his ear, and a knee-jerk reaction, he accidentally smacked the haunted house performer. They were both immediately escorted out, as the haunted house performer was nursing a bloody nose. So, I don't vibe, but I mean, if it gets my shot, I'll do it.
I think Locke, on the other hand, doesn't necessarily take it seriously. He's from, you know, he's the governor's son, so he lives in a more privileged part of town with lots of landmarks and things like that. The kind of place where people are constantly going on tours and talking about what buildings are haunted and getting all the history behind it. And it's just another excuse for entertainment, for just, you know, something spooky to happen when it's kind of all, you know, just taking long walks with big groups of people. So he's not necessarily, he doesn't necessarily buy in, but he doesn't necessarily discount it either.
Toad is fully scared of ghosts and all of this when it comes to haunted houses. But they are in denial and they really want to stay with this group because this is their first year in college. And their number one rule is you find your friends the first year and then you stick by them for all 3 years. That's what he's feeling like. He wants to see them. There's like this thought when he thinks of like haunted places as like part of the fabric of the world, like that you don't need to touch it or interact with it. And you don't need to mess with it. That's, you know, it's there. It's like animals out there. You just let them do their thing. But he wants to believe they don't exist because then it will make him sleep better at night. So he's just sitting here like anxiously like, yeah, we're out here. We're doing this.
The three of you pile into this car. Would you like to tell us what kind of car it is, CJ?
Oh, God, yes, I would. It is a 1982 Pontiac Trans Am Firebird. It is vindictive of the David Hasselhoff show Knight Rider. It is all gloss black. The interior has been redecked out, just the dash, with all the proper electrical. We're waiting for the steering wheel to come in, but it costs $500, and honestly, I don't have the cheese right now. But the back panel does have the carbon fiber tint to the rear view lights, which I cut myself, fiberglass. And I did put the red scope on the front of it too. So there's a small little button on the center console when you press it, and the front light goes. The only thing different is that the Pontiac Trans Am during that time had like a 5.2cc like Corvette engine in it, which was switched out to more so something with an aggressive feel, and the tires are a little bit thicker because they were cheaper to buy.
You all pile into this vehicle that clearly has a lot of love put into it, although I don't know if Toad and Locke can really pick out just how much love has been put into a vehicle like this.
This is really nice. You want me to touch this?
No!
Should I open this door?
Stop!
What's this do?
What do you... Oh. Okay, everyone get out of the car.
Oh, sorry. Shit, out all right.
Do I not sit in the middle?
We
no,
have
I always
a set
sat
of,
in the middle.
We have a set of rules here, okay?
Okay.
I'm right, already... Right. I got the big cup.
It's like it's CJ physically puts his shirt over his mouth to prevent him from screaming. Okay, the interior is all basic leather. Please just be very careful. Like, I took some time with my dad.
Isn't that in all cars?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it is, but it's not. But I had to repurpose a lot of it. Just please don't spill anything.
Okay, got it.
And
okay.
It's a two-door, so he has to push the front seat so you can crawl in for the back.
I really have to sit in the back seat.
As you were spouting off the rules, Locke was preparing to put his feet fully on the dash and then sees how serious you are and slowly lowers them to the ground. I was stretching.
All right. No, it's fine. It's fine. Like, just like, you know what's acceptable?
Toad in the back is like making eye contact with Locke through the mirror. Just like.
It was acceptable. Out the window. That's fine. If you can do that.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool. Here this we go. Nice. Thank you. It's all
just
I have.
Just rattling ice cubes in this big gulp.
And Adam, it tears off. Like, it's.
Hold on.
The car roars awake and tears off into the waves of heat that you can all kind of see being almost made illusory before you. The only weird thing about this as it tears off is that it feels like you all have gone down this road before. I would like all three of you to make me some kind of mental roll. You can pick whether it's brains or whatever it may be, but I would like all three of you to make that roll for me, please.
I rolled a d10 for my brains, and I got a 6.
Mine is a d12, and I got a 10.
I have a d8, and I got a 3.
Locke and CJ, you have this kind of prickle at the back of your neck. And you shake it off, just nerves. Driving is always kind of wonky. The car roared to life a little more than you expected, Locke. And CJ, that freak almost put their feet on the front of you.
I said I was sorry.
Yeah, but you keep doing it. You keep doing it.
As my feet are actively up again. It's a reflex. I'm sorry.
She's trying to look so cool all the time. It's so hard. But on the other end, we have Toad, who back here alone for a moment, the sides of your legs get sticky as if you're sitting directly next to people. And you kind of pull them aside, just look around. It's just you back here. And then as you look around, your friends aren't in the car, and it's nighttime. The doors are open. You see these light bugs kind of filter around outside. It's this odd scene. And there's these two bulbs that are a little bigger than all the other light bulbs that kind of stay fixed directly in front of the car. You hear footsteps that sound like your friends. And then you're in the car, and you're not quite sure what just happened. Maybe it was just nerves, Toad. I don't know.
Toad, at first seeing that the place was empty, just like, guys? Guy?
What?
Oh,
sorry,
what?
It's loud. Yeah?
It wasn't loud just a second ago.
Are you a kid? No offense, CJ. What? I mean, I like the roar of the engine. It's phenomenal. But
I'm also listening to the music very loudly. I could turn it down.
Yes, sure, that's true. Yeah.
No, it's fine. I'm not. I'm here to be with the vibe, and they're just fully like looking, like even though like reach in, like he's a bigger guy, so he will like hold the seat to kind of hear the music more, and almost like pull the seat a little bit back because he's like,
whoa,
making sure the doors are locked.
The leather.
Okay, doors are locked. Oh, sorry. Yeah, doors.
Why
locked.
Wouldn't
great.
The doors be
no,
locked?
No. Bugs? What?
Bugs?
Nothing.
Okay. Well, we're just gonna focus on the road.
Eyes on the road!
Turns up the music.
Yeah. You can go. And then just like drinking away. Really fast from their soda. Head bopping while sipping their large soda.
Yes, we're all head bopping.
Yeah, you three continue on your journey down. It's kind of just a long stretch of road to get there, but cutting away, Rhonda, there's something so special and incredibly fleeting about your last summer, right before you enter full-on adulthood. College is sweet, but it's still school, and it's this kind of slice of like, wow, I'm an adult, but I still get to exist in a space in which there's like this control and expectation of what my day-to-day is going to be. You sign up for your classes. Yeah, you sign up for your classes. You get everything ready. You know how each week should go. You know how each month should go. You're not going to get laid off from college as long as you kind of show up every day. And that is so ever present, as this is verifiably the last time, at least unless you go beyond your undergrad, that you'll be taking a summer and then going back to school. The next time you feel this kind of heat and this level of uncomfortability where there's just kind of divots of moistness in the pressing of your clothes on you, right? Where your socks meet your ankles and where your waistband meets your hips. They're going to be red and uncomfortable and maybe even rash, because this time of year is wonderful, but is a lot. And again, all of that might happen and you might still have to go to work. How do you feel, and where are you going, and can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, Rhonda is in her dorm room. She has short brown hair. She's a short woman with a feminine figure, kind of beige tan skin, brown eyes. She's wearing these blue pants with match suspenders and a yellow and blue shirt. And she has got the radio on really loud in the dorm room. And she's listening to Foolin'. And she's like rocking out. And then she looks at the clock. Oh shit, I gotta go. Grabs her bag, runs out to the parking lot. Oh, where's my keys? Ah, got it. Opens up her dusty gray Oldsmobile, you know, hops in, turns on the radio, turns on the car, and Rock the Night by Europe starts playing. All right, we got this. We are good. This is gonna be just fine. Everything's gonna be fine. Peels out, and she just like starts kind of, without even missing a beat, just jumping into like, whoa, you want to rock now, rock the night. And just like all worries outside of her head for just this moment as she drives just a little bit too fast down Highway 3.
Amazing. Rhonda and CJ, your fates are inevitably entwined, as when the senior Rhonda stepped up to offer to be a liaison to allow the freshmen to check out some pretty high-level equipment, stuff that they usually don't even let sophomores check out. This is important to the two of you for a lot of reasons. You likely aren't even really that close, but it's just a situation of like, well, they're doing me the solid. You're all four on your way now to some extent. Rhonda, you're rocking it solo, listening to some of your favorite tunes. It's nice to drive by yourself. Windows down?
Oh yeah, absolutely. The radio is loud enough that there is a risk of the speakers blowing.
That's beautiful. And you drive, radio so loud, windows down, the speakers may blow. And you head your way to meet these three freshmen. CJ, Toad, Locke, tell me, what is it like in this car?
As soon as Whitney comes on, Toad is singing full, like the highest note he can do, which is not possible. But it's just like, just, you know, just from the back seat.
I'm going to join you. I'm not going to leave you hanging like that. I'm not going to let you sing alone.
Oh, no, we're all here. Yeah. We're on.
We're in this.
Whitney comes on, you participate.
Whitney is real.
Yeah.
All three of you sing along to some Whitney Houston. And Toad, I think with your friends joining in and kind of taking away what could have been a pseudo embarrassing moment and making it this enjoyable kind of road trip friendship situation here, you kind of, you're lost in it. It's nice to be in a space where you're just kind of just jamming along for a bit. You did have maybe a momentary lapse of mental fortitude there, but you're back, you're good, you're singing. CJ, how, when you sing, do you close your eyes, and how well do you keep your eyes on the road when you're jamming out like this?
It depends on the road we're on. If it's a long stretch and like the moments hit, like there is a moment to where CJ kind of like just gently, and he's just like, oh, I wanna die. I want to use it. Okay. Yeah. Shit. Sorry. But it happens.
Yeah, as you kind of, you jam out a little harder than maybe you should as the person who's driving, you kind of quickly glance back, seeing an animal dart in front of you. Could you roll me, I'll let you pick, but some kind of physical stat, I think, to kind of erect the car and move it out of the way from hitting this thing.
I'm gonna pick fight. Mm-hmm. Which gives me the best fighting chance. It's a d10 and I got a 7.
Okay. Yeah, you actually fully swerve out of the way of what you now see is this kind of matted fur covered 5 foot high at the shoulders, it's on all fours kind of beast. You only see the back end of it. It would almost kind of betray itself as a bear if not for the way the legs bent and moved, as if it were a two-legged pretending to be a four-legged in a sense. And it's across the road in the other side of the forest away from you, and you're still driving the car. You just swerved and kept going, but you all kind of get a glimpse at whatever that was.
you guys see CJ kind of like double back, like while you guys are driving away, and he straightens the car. He's like, "You saw that, right?"
Yeah. What the fuck?
What was?
Oh, don't do that! Don't do that again.
Oh, was it gonna hit it like that? Moose?
I'm assuming the Firebird's like backseat is pretty much a little bit lower. Like CJ, like if you're in the front there, Toad is just like, "What did you see?"
I don't.
What the hell?
I'm gonna be honest with you. It was big.
Bugs. Oh, big. Yeah.
Are there bears around here? Like bear? Do we have a bear problem?
Maybe it's not a problem. Maybe it's just a bear.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Do we have bears in this? It's still driving. Still very loud. Like
I don't know. Honestly, but. We're good, right? Car's good? Everybody's good? Yeah. Toad, you good? Toad?
Bear?
You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Maybe
I'm good.
A bear. Maybe yeah. Bear? But bear's back there now. Bear can't hurt you.
As you say that, all of you hear a like... And like... As... A bit of viscera spatters up the side of the car, hitting a bit of your window, CJ, as you, again, a bit distracted, appear to have run something over. In the rear view, you quickly see it was just the carcass of something. But a bit of it is on your car now.
Did CJ see that? He goes, "Ah!"
Toad in the back all just like, as soon as CJ screams.
What did you hit?
I hope I didn't hit anything. It was just kind of trips.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I'm sure you didn't. Get anything. I'm sure it's fine. I'm looking in the rear view mirror to see if I could see whatever is left of.
Oh, it's a deer.
It's a deer.
I think it was already there.
At
it's
this
not your
point,
fault. It was already in the
rear view. Realizing that a petition could be a deer, I pull the car over.
There's nothing you could do. What are you going to do?
Hold on.
Oh, take a breath.
Hold on.
Take a breath.
Yeah, it's just fine. Just stay. Just okay. Everyone, stay in the car. Stay in the car.
Okay. Why? I'm not moving. I'm not moving.
Don't move. Lock. Just stay.
I'm not. I'm just gonna go.
I lock get the out to check to see, you know, how bad it is.
Yeah, the car itself is fine. All the viscera and blood is just kind of spattered amongst the wheels and the underside, and a bit up the door and just at the edges of the window. Whatever it was, like, it had been there. It wasn't like, it doesn't smell fresh either.
From the inside of the car, Toad and Locke, you could, no, like, he's still on the outside of the car. You just hear this. Fuck. Shit. Damn. Fuck.
Yeah, let him get it.
Are you dying? Are you dying? Just tapping on the window. Are you dying?
He's got to get this out of his system.
Are you dying?
We got to let him have this.
Do you want this to come out?
This is part of the process.
Okay.
All right. Get it out, buddy. It's fine. It's good. Don't
deep
cry.
Breaths.
Do you need a
deep
tissue?
Breaths.
Do you need a tissue?
Do you have tissues in here?
He goes to
I
take
tissues
off his
from
kerchief
the Quickie Mart.
Off of his neck if you need it.
He gets in the car and he's just like, "It's fine. I'll just wash it off later."
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nice. You only had to wash it off.
It all great. Washes off, right? It'll be fine.
Nice.
And I feel our bodies are just like just pressed against
the pinned back as the car kind of takes off again. The three of you sit here.
Just holding their like drink like, okay, we're going.
If I spill this now, it's going to be bad.
They're just not trying to make eye contact in the mirror. Just like, yeah, I have this. I have a hold on this lid and everything. And I'm going to drink a little bit more, even though I need to pee possibly soon. Just until you hear like a good like empty of the cup, just like yep, you see, finished it, not a drop on this basic leather,
not a spadrop.
You three pull off the highway and into this kind of long winding road. CJ, you kind of had the map, or at least had Locke have the map up, knowing mostly in the direction you're going. It's this beaten path. It's nothing the car can't handle. It's just maybe a little bumpier than you would have preferred, as you kind of over little bits of hill and mounds of dirt.
I think now for all three of you, the smell of whatever you had run over is creeping into your noses. It's making its way into the car, just the scent of it being kind of surrounded by it. It stings and has this like bit of pungency that's just pretty unpleasant. You know, a carcass baking on the asphalt never smells good. You three pull up ahead and see Rhonda's car waiting for you, the older student who had to kind of take you guys on and be the chaperone to ensure that you could bring the equipment you did. It's been a wild, not really a wild, just a long drive. Some inconveniences, almost totaling up the car, and then running something over. Now you have to take it through a car wash at the least, and you're probably going to have to get in there, down under the car and really get in there to scrape off all the bits and really clean it. Toad, you had that bit of that moment of misremembering or maybe even premonition. I would like all three of you again to give me another kind of mental roll, and you can pick what you want.
I got a 16.
Well, that was an 11.
I got a 7.
That's actually fairly good for all of you. You all have, again, this moment of it almost feels like being zapped by a some kind of battery, like if you accidentally touched two wet fingers to the side of a battery, or if your friend convinced you to lick a battery or something. You all have this zap, this moment of dread. You each smell metal. That smell of rotting is gone for just a moment, and there's just this scent of fresh, kind of creeping iron. You all come back to, you don't drift in that too long. And yeah, you're here, and you see the car, Rhonda's car, a bit ahead of you. You've kind of parked just outside of this large kind of brick inlaid home that is supposed to be quite haunted, the Oleander House.
Did you guys invite Rhonda?
No, but Rhonda's... I did not, but Rhonda's fine. Rhonda's fine.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with Rhonda.
Well, Rhonda here, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... I don't...
She'll be into it, right?
Wait.
I think as y'all walk up, I overhear this conversation, and I pull out a paper from my pocket. Y'all don't remember that I'm the one that signed off on this?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
It's been a bit.
I didn't
okay.
Think that.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Y'all behave and don't get me fired. So
I'm not going to get you fired.
Well,
look,
plenty
of light. You see?
Well, that's fine.
Five minutes did not make the difference.
I've got things to light because I assume we would film in the dark a little bit too. Okay, fine. Let's do this.
Yeah.
What are we? Okay. Yep. Let's go, Locke.
All right. So what do I do? Should I just start yelling for things to come out? Are we going? What do you want me to do? What's my role?
You don't
want to
yell. Let's not yell. Let's get them get out by themselves, you know?
So wait, like, you're looking for shots.
How about I check the structural integrity of the house, you know?
It's brick. Yeah. House.
Toad is now dancing, just in the back.
He's a brick. House.
As Rhonda goes forward.
Yeah, piece of cake. I find a window to look through first to make sure there's no nobody camping out that we should be aware of.
Yeah, you kind of peek through this window, and just this empty, what you can tell, kind of disheveled and even bits of rotting house. You see kind of like wood giving or bending and even little kind of potholes within the wood itself. The house itself still has bits of furniture, tattered and kind of beat up at this point.
You see a couple bottles in there. Probably some kids had stayed here before, but it doesn't look like anyone's currently taken up residency in this home.
All right, y'all, come on in.
You want me to get the door?
Yeah, sure. Watch your step. I've got a first aid kit, but that's not really going to help if you break any bones. So try not to fall through the floor.
Is the door locked or unlocked?
The door is unlocked.
Unlocked? Okay. Lock is a little sad at a missed opportunity to, like, Jimmy open a door, but I guess he'll just open the door like a normal person. Mm-hmm. Which is not fun.
Yeah, as you open the door, opens, and then there's kind of this beat. What's the configuration of everybody? How are we all standing?
Behind Locke.
I'm right in front of the door.
Rhonda's letting the younger students go first. It is their project, after all.
Yeah, and CJ would be towards the back because he's filming everything. He's got like this big old Panasonic VHS camera like on his shoulder. It's like, oh, that's good. Yeah, I would swing it from the side. Yeah, it's good. Good angle. Fuck.
You have opened it. We have a good angle. And all four of you kind of hear this noise from somewhere in the forest around you. The four of you make your way in. What exactly are you looking to get out of this shoot here, CJ?
Maybe some like good sweeping shots. If something happens, it happens. I don't know. Like, I went to the magic shop, and so I got like these things that are like I could throw, and they make noises. They're kind of like poppers, and we could be like, because nothing's here. Nothing's. It's just a empty building. Yeah, maybe catch some orbs in the camera, and then make a story out of it. So, I don't know. Hey, Toad, why don't you like stand in the middle of the room?
Why?
Just stop here. Is a flashlight, and just stand in the middle of the room and, I don't know, provoke the demons. I don't know what we're doing.
Demons. Hold on 1 second.
It's your chest. You got it. There you go.
Demons. It's me.
Listen, if y'all get me cursed, reporting you to the dean.
Oh, you can get cursed? You can get cursed? Nobody said that about being cursed.
As
what if
kind
it's
of
like a cool curse?
Mount into this panic
There's a
of
cool
curse.
Curse.
And Locke offers up the chance of a cool curse. The ground below you, kind of soggy with rot, starts to give a bit. Toad, go ahead and give me a probably a flight.
Oh, it's a 10 on a D10.
Oh, you get to re-roll, or you get to roll and add that to it.
It exploded.
Also.
A 13 total.
Yeah, so the ground below you gives, but with a 13, maybe in a burst of the most athleticism you've ever experienced, you dodge out of the way.
Oh, gonna see, that's what I'm talking about. No curse. And just starts karate chopping the air. Just no curse.
No, that was good. That was good. Did you do that?
What was that? I didn't do that.
The floor gave way. Like, I assume that you kind of like bounced on it.
No.
I'm gonna pretend I didn't hear that.
No. Now they're hugging the wall. Full on hands on the wall.
It's an old house. It's gonna happen.
Yeah.
I didn't do that. No. Old houses don't do that. Old houses, when did that happen?
Demons.
Rhonda, can you give me some kind of intelligence or mental roll, please?
Yeah. That's an 8.
That spot that gave, a lot of it has already kind of crumbled into the floor below. But there's bits of it that are kind of still around, like the outer edge of what caved in here. You see that it is discolored, unlike the rest of the wood, and even maybe a bit wet, or I guess I would say has been soaked through.
Mm.
But the
it itself, the wood itself, is this kind of stained, almost like brown black color with something that's caked over and has dried in a nasty fashion.
Yeah, you see that moisture, yeah. That dark spot there, that, yeah. It's probably some kind of rot. Probably somebody camped out here and spilled something and didn't clean it up.
Old house.
Nerd.
Not a big deal.
I'm sorry. I don't know why I said that.
Listen,
I'm calling Rhonda a nerd major. You're the one telling Toad to go stand in the middle of the floor and call for the demons. What?
Demons?
Yeah.
You don't need to do that anymore.
I'm just trying to make sure they know that I'm in their house.
Okay.
Respectful. I like it.
You all, in the middle of this conversation, kind of hear this echoing from the outer wall. It's repetitive, and it kind of sounds like maybe something is moving against the outer wall of this building.
Is it like skittering, or is it like a
It's a repetitive like.
Yo, what if it's a bear?
If it's a bear, why would you want to go check on it?
So we know what we're up against.
Y'all probably told some of your friends that y'all were going to be out here and they're trying to scare the crap out of you. It's probably nothing.
Well, what if I go scare the crap out of them instead? That'll be funnier, right?
What if it's a bear? Well,
you're not going to do that.
As long as nobody gets hurt, sure, go for it.
What if it's a demon
bear? Are there windows on the wall that we're talking about?
It's not going to be a deer. It's going to be a bear.
Yes, there are. It is just the long outer edge of the building itself. But if you like were to walk into the kitchen, you do see that there's like a bit of light from like the now setting sun coming in through that window.
I'm gonna look out the window just to see what it might be.
You kind of peek out the window and you don't see anything. The noise at this point from your walk over has kind of subsided. You don't quite hear anything. You look out.
There's nothing out there.
Do see just on the line of the forest line, tufts of fur, and maybe it's kind of far, but maybe a bit of kind of this fleshy pinkness with little specks of white throughout it, kind of clumped up. You can't quite tell what it is.
Bear? Is it moving?
No.
A hairless bear.
A hairless dead bear?
A hairless dead bear.
You are saying the worst adjectives.
I never expected to say those words in that order, but that's what I'm seeing.
It's gotta be something else. Come look.
It's weird. I can't really, it's far.
Yeah, Rhonda, you look out. You kind of peek down this way. Go ahead and give me a brain roll. I want to see if you can kind of put two and two together on what this might be.
That's a 3.
You squint out, and again, there's just this clump of fleshy pinkness, a bit of matted fur, some white specks here or there. It's just this amalgamation. It's just a clump from what you can see from here.
Yeah, that... right? It's probably just diseased or something.
Yeah,
don't grit its attention.
I'm not...
A diseased hairless bear? That's dead?
Maybe
it's obviously not dead. It's moving.
Hoad's still hugging the wall.
Listen, if it's too much for y'all, we can always go back. We should just probably wait till the bear moves on.
Wait.
This is cool. I want to see what's upstairs.
As you say that, Locke, you all hear kind of a bend upstairs as weight shifts somewhere. It is an old house. Maybe it's just shifting.
Shit. Did you hear that?
No.
I'm gonna go look upstairs.
I'll be with you. Old house.
Okay.
Structure issues. Y'all down here. Be careful, please.
And I think as Locke goes to go upstairs, he does not want to worry Rhonda, but from his front pocket, like since he's facing away from Rhonda, he does take out his pocket knife just because it's like that weird feeling like, yeah, it's probably nothing, but what if it's something? And so he does have his pocket knife in his hand.
Wait, Rhonda, here.
Yeah.
Take the camera, just in case.
I... You know
I'm
what?
Glad we're doing your project for you, CJ.
Shut up, Locke. You saw a dead, diseased, dead, hairless bear. Zombie demon.
You have to go upstairs. Why do you have to go upstairs? Okay.
Because I want to make sure it's fun.
I will
and then
take
just, like,
the camera.
Their phone, they're just trying to make sure they're silencing it a little bit because there's like a couple beeps from nobody. And Toad just like slowly holding onto the wall gets to the other edge where the stairs are and they're just trying to follow Locke.
I told you had that big ass phone in your hand the entire time.
It's just a fucking brick. It's such a big
crazy. What is that?
Oh, it's a pager. It's a pager. It's a pager. It was paging. And they're just like slowly climbing the stairs with Locke and like shaking.
Oh, we're all going up the stairs now. Fine. Okay.
Might as well.
They just do a little like handshake with Locke, like buddies forever kind of like thing. But they're just.
But you got this. It's nothing.
If CJ follows, I pass the camera back.
Yeah, he takes the camera.
CJ, you gonna put us in the credits for this?
You all kind of break way into this upper part of the home. You see bits of, again, the setting sun kind of peeking in through like old tattered curtains and even bits of the floor that have also given. You see some of the downstairs windows are letting a bit of light in this way. But outside of that, the space itself is a lot closer to pitch black than you'd like it to be. There's this darkness, and you hear a shift again.
I pull out my flashlight.
Thank God you have one. I was just checking my backpack.
Toad has my flashlight. Like I handed to them when they called out for the demons.
Damn it.
Can I get I need a count of who has their flashlights on.
Toad has their flashlight on.
Wait, hold on. I apologize. I think the camera that I have comes with the light.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. The 1987 original Panasonic VHS camcorder comes with a standard light. Solid.
That makes it so much better, guys. You all kind of shine a light in similar directions, not exactly one area, kind of towards where you hear like the... The room itself, even with light shining into it, is still a dark room. I'm sure you've all experienced shining a light into a dark room where, like, you know you're the only source of light. And it's so... Because everything else is still dark and you're like, that's weird. But in that darkness is this kind of large, tufted shape that reflects the light back almost immediately in these kind of dense orange-yellow bulbs that you are maybe realizing in this moment are eyes. Toad, you've seen these before, even if for just a second, when you had this kind of misremembering or premonition of what might occur. You all kind of hear as a step is taken.
Question.
Go on.
On the 1987 Panasonic VHS camcorder, there is a night vision function on there. I'd like to engage that and to see if I see anything different.
Perfect. You click that on, and what you make out now is a crouched figure, again, a almost like a two-legged pretending to be a four-legged, a thing crouching down, its arms more defined and man-like, but covered in this tufted black fur, its legs bent and knees snapped back the way a dog's would. These kind of slick horns, and this is what you're seeing, CJ. The rest of you get to kind of see the shape with these eyes peering back at you. Its face is gnarled and jagged and very, very wrong in the most organic of ways, CJ. It looks like it was born in pain. And it doesn't move for a second. And maybe because of its leathery, almost waxy face. It's probably just like someone put something here.
The Badlands,
Legend has it that beneath the dust, something old and powerful still whispers to any gunslinger foolish enough to listen. One day, aboard a doomed train into the wastes, three unlucky travelers hear that call. A runaway socialite, a shape-shifting bounty hunter, and a retired thief turned family man. Will our outcasts find what they're looking for?
I mean, we're already here. Let's have a little fun.
You really went in there, guns blazing.
I thought that was the plan.
My potions are miraculous.
I thought we were being quiet.
Oh, Stump only has one volume. Sorry.
Wild roses grow out of his mouth, having filled his lungs.
What's happening out there?
Violence.
Find out on Mage Hand High Five.
This episode is brought to you by the World Builders Club, a project of Working Families Power, an organization building power for the multiracial working class. The World Builders Club is your go-to dispatch for breaking down the political, cultural, and emotional architecture behind your favorite universes, from romance novels and TTRPGs to blockbuster franchises and indie gems. This isn't just pop culture analysis. It's a love letter to the art of creating worlds and the power those worlds have to shape our own. I, Kim, am a really big movie lover, and I've recently gotten back into reading, so I just finished Project Hail Mary, and I really enjoyed their piece about how we've been getting first contact all wrong, and their piece on how Hope Corps seems to be the future for sci-fi, especially with the vibe of Project Hail Mary and Superman last year. Hope is punk. So, join the club and build a better world with them by subscribing to bit.ly/WBCManySided, or by searching World Builders Club on Substack.
Who's closest?
That'd be me.
Locke, okay. Actually, hold on. Adam, what would you say in this moment would I need to roll to contain my composure?
I'll leave this to you. I would probably say grit, but I will say, what do you think is like CJ's like most personal stat? Like, what is the closest, not your best stat for CJ, but like what is like what CJ identifies with the most?
Brains.
Then I'll go ahead and say either brains or grit. I'll let you make that call.
I'm gonna do brains. That's a D12 for me.
That's good.
Now, one of my things is cool under pressure. So what benefit does that provide to me?
So I'll go ahead and say I'll allow you, Ian, to just take head of how CJ behaves in the situation.
Solid. Okay. Look, and CJ's still looking in his camera. And you can, those who are looking forward can kind of see the light of the camera kind of start to tremble a little bit. And it shifts focus. Locke?
Yeah.
Okay. I need you to start backing up. I can see your feet. You need to back up very slowly. No sudden movements. And whatever it is, or whatever you do, do not take your eyes off of whatever that is.
Okay.
I think I'm at the back in the doorway still, because it's their project. But seeing this thing, hearing the fear, I step aside, like I back up and step aside so that they can back out.
When you step aside, you see that CJ popped open the viewfinder and you can see what he's seeing through the camera.
Rhonda, I do have a question for you. When you step a little out of the way, would you say that your light is not shining into that room anymore?
I am having deja vu. This has happened before.
I have coal under pressure as well. So I think I have the presence of mind to try to angle my flashlight where it keeps the same angle and doesn't suddenly move.
That sounds great. So then I need the three people who have lights on their person to go ahead and roll just a d20 and tell me what you get.
Oh no. Why would you say that?
I got a 17.
I also got a 17.
Oh my goodness, that's terrible news for Rhonda. It's that whole thing of just don't run slower than your friends.
I got a 14.
The kind of weight and movement shifting occurs for just a second, and then there's this thing when a large person or a large, like a heavy thing, is suddenly alleviated from a space via jumping, that where there's like a and then just the sound stops, and that occurs, the weight shifts, suddenly there's no noise. And Rhonda, I would like you to make a fight, please.
That's a 4.
Luck, since you have your pocket knife equipped and ready out, I'll accept a fight from you as well.
Okay. It's my top stat.
I'm going to be honest with you guys. Your fights are different. There's different things happening per fight.
That's fine.
I got a 16.
You kind of stumble back as, again, you hear that, and then suddenly all sound ceases. And there's just a mass upon you. I think you stumble back a bit. You jut your knife out quickly, just reactionarily, but you didn't see this thing enter your space. And its feet still haven't touched the ground. Almost like a full leap. You're seeing the under portion of its body. You jab the knife in, and a bit of spatters on you. As whatever just happens to what you just did, you do hear this kind of gurgle, and I would say contorted wail, but for just a moment before all of you see that Rhonda is not where Rhonda was anymore. Rhonda, go ahead and give me another fight, please.
That's another 4, which is the best that I can roll. Because it's a d4.
Oh, if you roll an after 4, you roll again. Oh, and you add it. Yeah. Okay. That could be really good, actually.
That's another 4.
Go again. Please keep going.
Solo it.
3.
Oh, thank goodness. Okay, so that's an 8, 9, and it's an 11. You feel as sharp, jagged teeth dig into your shoulder, and you're yanked down the first 3 stairs. But you manage to kind of just roll and, like, yank away. I think you even, like, pseudo body check with your weight as you're both going down the stairs. And whatever this thing is, having been a little wounded previously from Locke's quick jab with the knife, lets go of you. You hear the thumping of it moving somewhere else around the house.
I think Locke was just caught completely off guard by what just happened. Doesn't have time to even scream, because before he can even address what's in front of him, it's off of him and on Rhonda. Mm-hmm. And I think he just scurries down the steps. He's like, "Are you okay? What was that? Did you see what it was? I didn't really get a good look at it."
Yeah, I will say Rhonda's about 3 steps down.
Yeah. Is it off of me now, or?
Oh yeah, it's gone again.
Oh, okay. It's just gone. It scurried away. Mm. Oh my god. Are you okay?
What was that?
I have no fucking clue, and I think we need to go. CJ. Starts yelling for everybody.
It ran out. Listen. It's a wild animal. It ran out.
That was not a fucking wild animal. That was not an animal.
It's
not an animal.
Here's the thing. It ran. Okay, so we're probably good here for a minute. I need to look at this and make sure that I...
What?
Help me with my first aid kit. Just help me take a look at this.
Okay. All right.
And I start pulling at my clothes, trying to like look at the injuries.
Yeah.
How bad is it?
It's probably the deepest wound you've ever seen.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, when animals bite, regardless of what kind of animal, it's a lot worse than you think it'd be. Really quickly, CJ and Toad, are your lights still on?
Toad is is just like frantic behind, like shaking the flashlight from area to area, but still on, literally using it like a saber.
Yeah. And I, you're still, so they've gone down about like 3 or 4 steps. You're still at the top of the steps. Yes, Toad?
Yes.
CJ?
So I guess I'm going to meet the I'm going to meet it halfway. Like I'm going to be, I would assume that Rhonda and Locke like passed him because CJ is on the step whipping the camera around from angle to angle to try to, like, it's frantic.
Yeah.
But he's still trying to get it recorded because now he's like, we have to tell people about this.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I'll say, Rhonda, you've dropped the flashlight.
Oh, yeah. It has fallen down the stairs.
Mm-hmm. I would like the two members who are still emitting light to please roll d20s again.
9.
It's a 9.
Oh, can you two re-roll again?
The both of us?
Oh.
Yeah, tie-breaking, because you both got 9.
I lose.
I got a 2.
And CJ got a 1, so you're safe right now, Toad. Locke, you're kind of helping Rhonda tend to their shoulder wound, who I think you've like pulled your shirt down a bit to kind of show again this like mangle.
I don't know what to do. I'm just wrapping it with gauze and tape.
Yeah, I've poured like rubbing alcohol on it. Oh god. Okay. I think it looks shredded like hamburger.
Oh, it does.
Meat. Yeah.
I think there's one thing that maybe you notice, Locke, when you're looking at it, is that there are like teeth here, like around like a regular bite, but then there's some here and here in like jagged areas. It's just such the most malformed, and gross. Regardless of it's maybe because Rhonda got yanked down the stairs and fell out of its mouth, but it is like ground beef.
Is it like it had rows of teeth or it tried to bite Rhonda multiple times?
I don't think you could quite tell. CJ or Rhonda, because I think the two of you would be the ones that would have this. Did either of you manage to get any plans for the home, like the layout of?
Yes, I would have.
I think CJ, you remember then in this very moment, and Rhonda, I think you also remember sitting on these stairs.
I'm in pain right now.
But I think that's the thing, is you're sitting on these stairs, there's a sobering amount of pain occurring to you, and it's like, okay, like, well, I know at least I'm on these stairs. And I'll see it, and then it clicks like, oh shit, there's another staircase. And CJ, you remember as you kind of realize you have your back to what you know is the staircase leading up from the... And it's not necessarily... it's like you guys are in the center of two staircases. Like there's one in the kitchen. Yeah. And you recognize that you kind of have your back turned that way as you hear the weight shift.
We gotta go.
CJ, go ahead and give me a fight roll, please.
We gotta go.
Right, it's not funny.
Hold on, everybody, shut up.
You're being the loudest one here.
You're literally talking the most.
You guys are still talking. I think I heard the noise. Hold on. You said a fight?
Yes, please.
I don't want to do this anymore.
I got 4.
You all kind of hear a like yelp as CJ gets yanked into darkness. And then followed by a...
Fuck.
You all don't see CJ. Give me one more fight, please. And this one matters the most.
16 total.
You guys are doing so good on the second fight. You get yanked down the stairs and hit a couple of stairs on the way down. You're slammed into the wall that kind of gives to your weight and the weight of this thing that's on you. There's two things that you note. One is that as strong as this thing is, it doesn't weigh nearly as much as you think it should. It's like its bones are hollow. And two, it's that you feel this thick, leathery skin over your mouth, holding your mouth shut, preventing you from yelling. But with a 16, you're able to wrestle your, I would say probably like arm out of its mouth and get your mouth free to begin thrashing about and yank away from this thing.
Question.
Yeah.
So CJ is the one that drove the other car, right?
Yes.
I think in this commotion, I shove my keys at Locke. Get Toad out of here.
No, what? I gotta go help CJ.
Ready?
You get Toad out of here. I'm gonna go get CJ. I have to.
Okay, Locke, you're going down those stairs.
Well, real quick, like in that moment, like after it's been asunder, like
I'm running after him as well.
Yeah, you hear CJ. He's like,
it's sticky.
Wait.
Locke descends the stairs like when you're going so quickly down the stairs that if you stop moving your feet, you will fall. Like, he's barely making contact. It's a full-on sprint down to where CJ is.
I turn back and toss my keys at Toad. Get the car ready.
No, hey, Locke's going. No, I can't. I can't.
Toad,
no,
go!
No, no.
Get it.
No,
get it ready. No, now. No.
Okay,
run.
Okay. Scrambling. Got it.
So Toad scrambles down the other stairs towards the front of the house. You two scramble down these stairs towards the kitchen, towards CJ. You get down there, and CJ, you've kind of, I think right now you're like struggling kind of like a turtle to get out of the divot in this wall that you and this beast made. You pull out as like, again, a chunk of your arm is, you feel now that like your arm is probably broken. The adrenaline's still there, so you can move. But it looks like your arm was run over by like a 16 wheeler. Like there's that, this part of it right here is just torn up, but there's nothing here with you three.
There's nothing? It's gone.
No, it's gone.
CJ, can you move?
I can walk it.
Can you move?
Okay.
You gotta go. Let's go. Toad's getting the car. Go. Come on.
My arm's broken. I can't, I don't know. I can't see. I can't.
You're going. We're going now. We're going now.
Where's the
put
camera? Put your other arm
where's
on
the
mine.
Camera? No, I can't.
Leave it.
It's not fucking
leave
important.
Leave the camera.
Just
come on.
Fuck. Where's the camera? We need to fucking take it.
No. I'll come back and get
shit.
It. You get in the car first. Come on. I will come back and get it. Go get in the car. I know. Go get in the car.
I will explain to the school. It will be okay.
I think, like, after realizing his arm is so fucked up, you see him. He's like, you're gonna have to drag him.
I do.
You two, even with your wounded shoulder, given the fact that your shoulder it's higher up, it's a little easier for you to still have that mobility. It hurts, but it's not a fully mangled arm.
Right.
You guys help CJ up. Toad, can you roll me a flight, please?
That's a 3 and a D10.
Toad, you get down these stairs and begin like breaking across the room. And as you do, from the opposite end of this like large kind of den slash living room, where that window was in the kitchen that Locke was looking out of earlier, from that like entranceway, you see or more hear the. And you see this kind of figure coming out. Give me another flight. Would you like to know the number you need to beat?
Sure.
It's going to be a 10 for you here.
Okay, I have a D10.
You could explode.
Just explode. That's all you got to do. All you got to do is explode.
If I'm en route, maybe I can help you since I'm coming up the stairs.
It's a D10! It's a
yes!
D10!
Yes!
Oh my god, it's a D10!
Toad supremacy.
Toad supremacy.
That's another D10! I'm sorry! Exploded! And it's another
keep
D10!
Going. Keep
sorry,
going.
20's crazy!
That's a 25.
Again, in a moment of athleticism that Toad perhaps did not know was inside of them.
Yeah, their belt loops are in, and they're holding their, like, big jeans just, like, going through.
Yeah, you burst out with this speed that you didn't know you have, and you manage to leave this thing that, by all means, should be much, much faster than you are in the dust. You get into the car, you start it up. So you get into Rhonda's car, you get it kind of turned over. Are you just waiting here now for everybody?
They're literally, they're going in the car, putting it in, starting it up, unlocking the doors, and they're just like, okay, all right.
A thing of note, Toad, is that whatever was chasing you stopped before you got here, so you don't see anything. The three of you, you're both carrying CJ, or is
yeah.
just one of you?
Yeah, we're
CJ?
Both.
Okay.
Did they feel it, though, like as if it like was right there and then
no you were running so fast that I couldn't in good conscience make it be on you.
And they were like, got it,
you Terminator sprinted.
The fear gave them,
it's that
like,
fight or
all
flight baby.
Yeah they were flying.
The three of you are making your way. You see the outline of the door. It's nighttime now, and you do see these kind of
flickers of little light bugs kind of making their way around outside. As you are approaching the door, again, you're moving much slower than you typically would be. Locke, you don't have your knife out, I'm assuming, because you have to have someone up on your shoulders,
yeah,
or are
no,
you trying
yeah,
to have
yeah,
your
I don't,
knife
I don't have my knife out because I would have used my hands to, I was addressing Rhonda's injuries.
You three move, and you hear kind of a... I would like all of you to just give me... just luck rolls. Just roll a d20 and let me know what you get.
Okay.
Adam, I'm going to message you.
unlucky number 13.
Oh, 18.
14. Can I use adversity tokens to add to
it? Yeah.
I can if I want. Is it going to make a difference? Adam, look me in the eye. Is it going to make a difference?
I mean, it means it's better for you.
Oh, you know what? Actually, I'm going to use an adversity token to, because it'll have more bang for its buck anyway. I'm going to give an adversity token. I'm going to use one for Rhonda. So Rhonda can get a +2. Just helping each other along. Like predicting where, you know, CJ's going to stumble and trying to compensate for that so Rhonda can keep us.
Yeah.
I think I should ask here, Locke or Rhonda, have either of you ever hunted, or do you have people in your families that hunt?
Lots of people in my family hunt. I've never been able to go hunting, but I would love to.
I don't think so. I think my family's too bougie to be hunters. They're not into that kind of sport.
Rhonda, something that human hunters don't do, but that... animals, when they hunt, often do is they'll try to target the weakest link.
Mm.
You have this kind of inkling of like, oh yes, the weakest link, like a thing, a wolf, a bear, will always get the wounded or a young
mm-hmm.
deer. You three look up, and can I really quickly, Rhonda, can I get everyone's numbers again?
Rhonda has a 15 now.
18.
I have 14.
With the 14 and 15, all three of you, again, hear that, and like even like, and you look up, and standing almost in defiance of gravity, with its feet holding the ceiling, and its face directly at yours, leathery and twisted, and you see now that you're so close here in this moment, that its gnarled teeth and the bones underneath it stretch and contort in a way that its skin can't quite support. Its mouth, now that you see it, was, you can only imagine, had to be the mouth of some kind of person before, as you see that it wants words to come out. And you know that they're not kind words. You three know right here that if it could say anything, it would say the worst things to you to make this more fun for it. Its lips kind of are peeled back, and you see bits of gum that have kind of gone and given to the teeth. You see jawbone that is thinly veiled by just this leathery skin as its hand kind of reaches down for... Well, Locke, with a 14, I think it's going to reach down for your head.
Okay.
In that moment, Locke feels CJ take his good arm off of them and rustles in his pocket and pushes on Locke's chest towards the door. And all you hear him say is, just don't fucking crash it. And he turns around towards that thing.
Okay, I need two rolls then. I need a... And I think, Locke, I'll let this be up to Kelly, and I want you to try to be as impartial as possible.
Yeah.
Is Locke too stunned to, like, resist the shove? And then, CJ, I need a fight from you.
So I have the intuitive thing. And in this particular moment, I feel that CJ would notice that Locke is being targeted, and using that intuition allows him to do this action.
I like that, and I will
honor that, I need Kelly's answer here.
I don't think he would have seen the shove coming.
Okay. In that case, then, I think, Rhonda, you're on the opposite side of this.
Right.
You feel CJ's hand slip off of you as, like, all of CJ's weight shoves Locke to the side. And that hand that was, I think, moments, centimeters away from Locke's face grips CJ's instead and yanks CJ up. Now I would like a fight from CJ. Rhonda and Locke, I think at the moment, you two...
Rhonda is not leaving CJ to deal with this on his own.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's scared out of her mind, but...
You, Rhonda, see as CJ is grabbed by the front of his face, this claw hand being large enough to cover all of CJ's face. And mind you, CJ is an adult man. Even though he's a young adult, is an adult man. Two of this thing's fingers kind of crush in the front, the bottom portion of CJ's teeth and enter his mouth, kind of fish hooking him. And as CJ's yanked up, you see their other hand. And again, they're hanging directly upside down, almost in defiance of gravity, like they're standing on the ceiling and dragging the other hand from directly under CJ's chin and pulling CJ up. You all hear more than see, I would say, given how dark it is. A... and then a... as CJ has been pulled up and apart in a matter of seconds. I think you do hear the crack, the initial crack of CJ's sternum. And CJ, for you in this moment, you hand your keys off as you're getting pulled up. Everything's kind of slow for a second. And I think that you know it's bad. You knew what you were doing was like, this is like, I could get hurt here. And it goes from like, okay, like, what am I going to do next? To like, as suddenly your lower jaw is immediately broken. And then your chest and stomach and into groin are made to feel like they're on fire, but in a cold way. And then suddenly you are just cold and... What's the last thing you think about, CJ?
The reason why CJ was even in college was because he has his mom at home, and the fact that she, throughout his entire childhood, always made it a point to push for something better. A week before this project, he was at the college, but he was standing outside of the admissions office, and his mother walks out and she looks at him and she goes, I got cleared for graduation. And they hug and they embrace. And she looks at him and she goes, not too long after this, we're going to be here doing the same thing with you.
Back to Rhonda and Locke. Rhonda, you were mid-step when you heard the splash.
Rhonda gives a weak scream.
Go! Go! Run! I'm pulling you with me. We're going together. Locke, the second he sees this happen, he's an athlete and he's locking in right now. He knows his buddy's in the car, and this, what happened just now, is not going to happen to Toad, and he knows Toad's alone, and he's pulling Rhonda with everything he has to go.
You're going to go ahead and yank Rhonda up. Rhonda, are you, like, resisting pulling against, or are you kind of just stumbling along with being pulled by Locke?
I think that she, in this moment, she, her worst fear has come to pass, and I think she collapses and is weakly trying to shove Locke off of her and then turning and just go, please go.
If she's not coming with him and she's resisting that much, he's going to run for Toad. He's going to leave her.
Okay. Rhonda, you're staying back to...
She doesn't know what is going through her head. In her mind, maybe there's a chance that CJ is not dead. Maybe he is dead. It doesn't even really matter. The worst thing has happened, and the other two need to get the hell out of here, and she doesn't know what she can do.
Yeah. Really quickly then, Rhonda, you'd hear the... As you see at this point now, like, the light kind of backing. This thing is standing on its two legs on the floor now. You see it reaches down and kind of just... Its hand makes the scooping motion into what is just kind of abyss of floor to you. You can't quite make out whatever it scoops. Mm-hmm. And it begins walking towards you. Locke, you see Toad waiting in Rhonda's car. Can you give me a brain roll while you're running? And I would like you to do it with some kind of... I'll go ahead and roll twice and take the lower roll. I'm going to give you a disadvantage.
Yeah. Okay. This is just straight up tunnel vision. Survival mode is kicked in. I got 2 7s.
Okay.
I'm going to spend an adversity token to bump it up one to an 8.
Perfect.
Or can I use both?
You can use both. With a 9, you're running and you realize, and it's kind of this like, oh shit, you've pinned in Rhonda's car. See, this is a single car, like long strip of like kind of off-road, and CJ's car is directly behind Rhonda's. Toad is in Rhonda's car with it on, and Toad is kind of waiting, looking at you now, who you see running out full speed. Toad is Locke.
Locke, get in!
I know. We can't get out. The car's... We're blocked in!
What are you...
We gotta get in the other car. Get in the other car.
Where's Rhonda? Okay.
She's
okay.
Not coming.
Why is she not coming?
I don't fucking know! Get in the other car!
Really quickly, we'll jump back to Rhonda. You're, I think, just standing there in shock, absolutely in shock. And it crouches down and you smell its breath as it's kind of nose to nose with you. Again, its face has this contorted portions of its skin. There's one thing of note now. Whatever it's scooped up, you see... that it must have eaten on the way. There's blood kind of smeared across its face. Its breath smells not only of... It smells like petrichor, dirt after rain.
Mm-hmm.
And then... So that was what you pick up as its own breath, but following that is metal and what you know to be blood. And you see its face... Its bones move a bit, and its eyes kind of dilate a bit. And it becomes just a tad bit more human.
Oh, God. What are you?
Can you roll me a fight, Rhonda?
That's a 3.
It leans in and just... You, and it's going to break your knee kind of backwards, and it's just going to throw you to the side. Locke and Toad, you guys are running to the other car.
Yeah.
Toad, you've evaded this thing once. You had some form of premonition. Toad, I would like you to give me your role. What is Toad's role? Whether or not it's your best stat, but what makes up Toad as a person, as someone who is rolling, as someone's stat?
Toad is charm in a way that they're unique in their own little box. Even if it's behind Locke, they are protective and they're always loyal. So this is their spot of like, this is what I came here to do. Make sure Locke's okay. Make sure people are okay, because they were demons. Just their charm comes from the fact that they've always been that stable part of Locke and Toad.
Go and roll me a charm, please.
It's a 12 of a d20. Plus, how many adversity tokens I would need?
I think you had 3 up to this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wanted... a 12 is good. A 12 is good.
Oh, okay.
Before you use them, I'll let you know. 12 is good. You, upon getting out of this car, you hear Rhonda scream, and it doesn't stop. Rhonda's in pain, but is not dead. And then you see just outside of your periphery, and you don't know how you notice it. You look, and you know it was just shy of your periphery. Like, you didn't see it, but you felt it. And you look, and you see these bulbs of orange that kind of flicker and lighten a bit, and for a moment stop catching the light, and then dial back in a little more pinpoint and catch the light. And it's tracking you alongside the edge of the forest as the two of you are running.
Toad is pressing their hand on the back of Locke to be like, go, 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 go. And just like pushing like a footballer, pushing that, like, whatever that's called. They're just using Locke as that. And do not look back. Do not look back. We gotta go. We gotta go.
I know.
You two get into the car. I think Locke fumbles with the keys for a moment.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Even though like he's got tunnel vision on a goal right now, and that is to live. It's just there's so much pent up energy in his hands. Like, he maybe even like just fumbles the keys at one point and tries to scoop them back up.
Yeah. Toad, you see as you feel you see that the car unlocks on Locke's side, and right as it does, you see this thing behind Locke. It looks like it's going to make contact, and it misses, and you hear like a hard against the side of the car as Locke gets in, unlocks your side, closes the door, starts the car, I'm assuming?
Absolutely, yes.
Toad, you get in?
Oh, yeah, of course.
You then hear another on the other side of the car. You begin trying to pull the car out, and you hear the of the wheels scraping against the frame as the car has been dented in on the sides to prevent the wheels from moving appropriately, and the car is kind of just sputtering in place.
Okay. We need the other keys. You have the other keys, right? We gotta get back and run this car. I don't know where we're gonna go, but we gotta go. We gotta go.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Which of you two would you say is more scared?
I don't think Toad is scared because they haven't seen what's happened outside.
Yeah, I was going to say that Locke is more scared because of what he's seen.
Locke, you see a hand, this large hand that you've seen, grab your friend, come off the top of the car and on your window.
I think he just doesn't. He's frozen. He's trembling. It's like in a dinosaur movie when you hear the T-Rex coming and you're just like, if we don't move, maybe it'll go away.
Yeah, you are frozen there. I think even you, Toad, even though you're not nearly as scared as Locke is here, this is unsettling. And then you both hear CJ's voice.
Would it be better if I used your friend's voice? Come on out.
CJ?
Stop.
What?
I see it's a different body, right?
You don't see the body. You just saw this hand tap. And it taps again.
Toad. I saw CJ.
Just let him in.
No, stop.
Everything's okay.
I saw CJ get ripped apart. I saw his jaw.
What do you mean, ripped apart?
I saw him get ripped apart.
I need your help.
What do you mean?
Locks.
That can't be CJ.
No, just
they tore him apart. They tore him apart. That's not him. That's not. You're not fucking him!
CJ?
Don't talk to him. Don't talk to
him. Why?
Locke, come on.
Say my name!
It's all part of the assignment.
Poe's gonna cover Locke's ears.
Why? Why? What do you mean that's not CJ?
I saw CJ get ripped apart in the house. It's not him.
Toad.
Open the door.
Toad, tell Locke to open the door. It's all part of the movie. I got it.
Toad.
I think my project is complete.
Toad, you have to trust me.
It's gonna be really good. Toad, open the door. Toad.
It's not him.
Please don't.
This is his car.
Please don't open. Please.
The car lightens a bit as if something moved off of it. And you two sit there.
Still hands around their ears. They're just slowly lowering it to like...
That wasn't CJ?
No, it's not CJ.
CJ's gone?
Yeah.
And in like full shock is like... shaking and like pulling back.
Where is Rhonda?
I tried to bring her with me. She didn't want to come. I tried to pull her out of the house. She told me to go, and I couldn't. It was you or her. I came to find you.
What if it comes back?
I don't know. I don't know.
Are you sure?
They're just like looking at the car and like at the thing. If it comes back, they're just like, we're running that thing over.
Yeah. Yeah.
You two sit in the car for quite an amount of time, I figure. What do you want to do in this car that's not working?
So the car, honestly... it's not even a matter of doing anything. It's just... Locke knows getting out of this car could be a death sentence. So it's not, like, absolutely petrified, tears wordless, like, just streaming down his face.
Toad, if Locke never gets out of the car, do you ever get out of the car?
It's Locke and Toad, no.
You two sit here.
They're locking the door, but there's a thing I will say with Toad.
Uh-huh.
That was CJ's voice, and CJ and Toad were close in high school in the way that they consistently were in the same classes or things where they never were friends the way that they and Locke were, but they were... going to be, and there was always that potential. So they're like holding on to the door handle of like, you can't tell me that's the last time I'm gonna hear CJ.
Mm-hmm. Toad, you sit there with your hand on the door. Locke, you aren't getting out of this car. You notice, Toad, that there's no light bugs here anymore. And you don't hear any noises outside. Toad, a hand reaches down.
Toad, come on, man. You helped me out so much.
I want you to see what I got. It's really good. Come on, come out of here. Buddy.
Do I hear this?
Come on, buddy. I got it.
I think you just wordlessly... Locke is so tired and just... You feel his hand grab your arm and just look at you wordlessly and just...
You have to roll grit to withstand this.
Yeah.
What's it? Do you have the DC or is this going to be?
Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah.
I think for this, how Toad's fairly rational. As much as Toad is a little head in the sky, Toad's fairly rational. So I would say that this DC is going to be a 7.
Just get at least a 4. That's all you have to do. Since this is also considered protective,
mm-hmm.
Could my adversity tokens count for 2? Well, it says add +3 to rolls when defending one of your friends.
Okay. Yeah, I'll count that as this because, yeah, yes.
Okay. And they'll use one... adversary token for a 7 to just be like they're holding it. Can they look straight where the tapping is coming at?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see it's an overreached hand from the top of the vehicle.
But like a big hand or like on the side?
So I'll say this much. The vehicle didn't bend like it did last time. Like there was additional weight on it. That and the hand worse. Doesn't look... as big as it had previously, Locke. This is a little closer to man-sized.
They just looking at like, hey, buddy. Hey.
Hey, I got it.
Hey.
I got the shot.
You did. Yeah.
Come on.
You did get the shot.
I gotta show
you. Get out to the front. I know I'm coming. Go get out to the front. We're gonna come out.
To the front?
Yeah. Like, to the lights, real quick.
Why? Toad, I have it.
We're gonna come out. You know, we're coming out so we can come see it.
What did Locke tell you?
Locke's sounding like some dumb stuff. I don't know, they're always saying something.
I don't know why you keep following behind them. I always get you in trouble. You're so smart. Come on, quit this nonsense. Come, let me show you what I finished.
Yeah. I know. Go. Get out there. I'm coming right behind you.
You two sit in this car the rest of the night.
They don't move in front of the car
at all? They refuse to.
No. They don't move in front of the car at all. You sit here, and after, I would say, probably like 2 hours... the noises of the forest come back and the sun breaks probably another 2 hours later.
Toad is holding Locke's hand for like the longest bit of it. And when that thing disappeared, they're breaking down in tears of like, and they're singing the last like Whitney Houston song that they were singing with CJ, just quietly, just humming, like quietly, as they're just tears are just dropping from their eyes. I wasn't going to open the door, Locke.
I know.
I just wanted to see it.
I know. I'm sorry I couldn't get him. I'm sorry.
And I think that's where we're going to end tonight's episode. Yay! You guys are so amazing. You guys are so cool.
What's going on, everybody? I'm Ian, or your boy Big on all social media. And I played CJ Henderson. And I do mean that. Type in YABOIBIG in your preferred social media, and you'll find me. And if you don't, let me know so we can monopolize that part of the internet as well. Over to my buddy Sadie.
Hi, I'm Sadie Pasley. I played Rhonda Smith. You can find me all over the internet at Oakleaf Insignia.
Hi, I'm Kelly. I played Lachlan Locke Prescott, and you can find me as the Kelhop all over the internet.
Hi, I'm Maz, or Megan Wright. I am a voice actor who was playing Marvin Tiddly, or Toad. You can find me everywhere at It's Mozzarella.
Start mogging. roll it into a looks max, Kelly. Please and thank you. I know all the TikTok lingo because I work with kids. it sucks. I'm full of brain rot. I'm so full of brain rot, guys. It's a fucking nightmare.
Aura farming.
Dude, don't get me started on aura farming. Yep. I have opinions on aura farming.
According to my fault, it was mainly the drug dealers who had bones.
Toad, where you get that phone from?
I didn't know Toad.
Stop asking questions, CJ. Stop asking questions. You don't need to know the answer to.
Yeah, no. Hey, listen, okay. I saw Scarface too, dog.
It was a good movie. Went to set three times. Bye-bye. Oh my god.
A special thank you to Supriya Zoop, Remy, Bad Heroes Podcast, Lee Carnell, Ink Master, Teresa Giacino, and Imagine If Media for making 5GM Season 5 from Inside the Tent happen.
Hey, thank you for listening to 5GMs in a Trench Coat. Be sure to follow us on social media at 5GMs in a Trench Coat on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok, and at 5GMs Official on Blue Sky. You can also check out our website at 5GMsandTrenchCoat.com. We're also on YouTube. Just search up 5GMs in a Trench Coat to watch us play video games and other variety content. If you like the episode, please rate us 5 stars and leave a little comment. And if you'd like to support us further, you can leave a little tip on our Ko-Fi at ko-fi.com/5GMsandATrenchCoat. Thanks, and catch you in the next episode.